Let's go to Titus chapter 2, and we may spend two, three Sunday nights here talking about this. This is a, Titus starts out and he's talking about setting things in order, and so then here in chapter 2, that's what he does. He just lays out the order for life, really. This is not just for church, this is for life. This is how it's supposed to be. Different groups of people, according to their age, their gender, have a station in life. You know, it's offensive now for you to say that somebody has a place. I don't know why that's offensive. Some of you here have jobs, and in the morning, you'll be in your place. Guarantee you, because that's how you make your money. And why would you be offended if somebody said, why ain't you in your place? Why? What would be offensive about being at your place where you work? I mean, but then when it comes to God's order for old men, young men, old women, young women, children, why is everybody so rebellious about being where God wants them to be? Why in the world would it be offensive to be a woman? To be an older man, an older woman, a younger woman, a child. Why is it offensive? Because everybody gets a turn at all the parts in life. Now, you don't get to be a woman if you want to, if you're a man. But I'm talking about young, child, young, and old. You get, that's what life is. And men and women are different, and they have different stations in life, like it or not. Now, you can trash it. Throw it to the wind. You can mock it and laugh it and despise it and rebel against it. But it's God's way. And it's the good way. And it's the blessed way. I read a little thing the other day and I thought it was, I had to laugh. Because the foolish people of this world, they did some kind of a study. And it really upset them. Because they found in the study that religious, conservative women are the happiest in our society. You mean these feminists are not happy? Oh, can't you tell? Can't you tell they're not happy? The ones who are the happiest are the ones who are nearest to God's order for life. And it just so happens that the religious conservative, that's the way they put it, women are the happiest wives and mothers. Somebody said today there, we were talking at home, they said that some study, one of you guys, I guess, said that most children spend 5 hours or less a day with their parents or parent. Because the daycare, work, job, school, everything, you know. Get up in the morning and everybody goes their own separate ways. And you wonder what's wrong. All right, let's read. Titus chapter 2. Let's read the first two verses here. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. All right, now the first verse says, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. So the idea here is that doctrine influences behavior, and behavior influences doctrine. And, you know, it's proven in the scriptures that they're connected here. Doctrine, what you believe, and action, what you do, how you live. I mean, behavior is going to be according to your doctrine. Doctrine is important. Beware of any preacher, any church, anybody, a friend of yours. You better beware of anybody that says, well, we don't worry about doctrine. We don't preach doctrine. You ever hear that? We don't preach doctrine at our church. Well, you ain't a church then. You ain't nothing. You ain't even a good social club. If you don't have nothing you believe. Wow, the Bible's full of preaching doctrine. Speak the things which become sound doctrine. And, you know, it talks about in the last days, they'll not endure sound doctrine. Isn't that amazing? They ain't going to have that. That's a sign the Bible gives clearly in the last days that that's what they're going to be. They're going to be against any kind structure in the church, the home, anything. That's what doctrine is. It's structure that you build from. What you believe is going to affect greatly how you behave. Teach your children that they're sinners and watch what they do. That's why that I said a week or two ago, you know, if you claim adamantly that you are a sinner, you probably are. And if you ain't, you're going to be. Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If you think you're a child of God, you'll act different. That's right. If you believe that you are a child of God and that He has saved you and atoned for your sin and put His Holy Spirit in you, you're going to act different. You're going to behave differently. For things to be set in order, there is a station and a pattern of behavior that's expected of each age group and gender here in this chapter. He goes one at a time. We're not going to try, even attempt, to get them all tonight. We're just going to talk about the aged men. That we're all not equal, that's a given fact. Or else he wouldn't have divided it up like this and said different things about each group. Old men, young men, not equal. All men were not created equal. They're not equal. That's just not true. As far as our value to God, every man, the value of his soul, yes, equal. Right. Don't make no difference who you are, what color you are, where you're from. You know, none of that matters as to the value of your soul, but everything else is not equal. Right. Everybody is different. It's funny how the world wants you to rejoice in diversity and at the same time wants you to believe that everybody's the same. Right. Gender's the same. That's what I told him last night. Coda's worrying about bucks and does and all this confusion about the tags and everything. And I said, well, you know, if there ain't no gender in people, then there ain't no gender in deer. Why would they do such a thing? I mean, if it's the same thing and it's just you can pretend to be whatever you want to, how you know that deer wasn't pretending to be a buck? Or a doe? Well, that's how dumb it all is. Age and experience add wisdom and understanding. Therefore, more responsibility. The aged are different than the young. It's just two different things. Two different stages of life. And they are not equal. Not equal. Each group has its own strengths and vulnerabilities. You're subject to things when you're young that you're not so much when you're old. Then you're subject to things when you're old that you're not so much when you're young. You're to flee youthful lusts. Because there's things when you're young that is more of a problem for you to deal with than when you're old. But then there's things when you're old, it's a lot more of a problem to deal with than it is when you're young. So there's a difference. There's different things. Every group, the women, the young women, the older women, younger women, older men, younger men, everybody has their place. And you know, that's the way we believe here. We've talked about it before and everything. That's why we have church together and we don't divide everybody up in according to gender and age and send them somewhere else. Everybody needs everybody. The young people need to be with the old people. The old people need to have the young people around. It's a need. It's a thing that's real important. They've got something to give. And the young people need. And the young people got a part to contribute that the old people need. I mean, Esther, when somebody comes to the nursing home with children or a baby, what does that do for the people? Oh, it just lights up their soul. It lights up their day. Just to have them there, just to see them, just to watch them. Well, that's important. That we all, and so it ain't like one's better than the other, and one, you know, it's not a competition. There's nothing to compete about. You know, it's not like I'm above you and you're above me, and it ain't like that. You know, why has the world turned it into that? Why has this women's liberation, junk, feminism turned it into we're enemies with one another? You got to hate men. You got to watch them because they're abusers and they're taking advantage. Where did all of that come from? Sure, there's evil men that abuse women. Let me tell you something. I've seen a few evil women abuse men also. Make their life miserable. Man or woman, it's whether you're righteous or wicked, like we talked about this morning. That's what matters. Who turned it into a us against them deal? What about all the faithful men who love their wives, who love their families, who've been a steady, faithful man and worked their whole life till they died for her, for them? What about them? Do these radical feminists believe nothing good about the way of God? Why do they want to throw it all away? So, the result of sound doctrine is that these things are in order and everyone is in their place, being faithful and fulfilling God's design. And so, we're just going to look at one group here, the older men. But that's what I want to establish first of all. What you believe is going to affect the way you behave. And so if your doctrine is sound, you're going to be in your place in God's design. If you believe right, if you believe the truth and of God, according to the Word of God, if you really believe it, then you're going to be an old man like is described here. You're going to be an older woman like what's described here. You ain't going to be rebellious and fussing again. You ain't going to be the opposite of this. If you are, your doctrine is not sound. You have believed a lie. You believed wrong. You do not obey the truth. You do not believe the truth. If you don't line up with wherever you are in here. Now there's young women here. There's young men here. There's children here. There's older men. There's older women. So everybody's got something here tonight to latch on to. We're just going to talk about the older men. All right, now what did he say? He said, teach them, speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. That the aged men be sober. Well, he starts with the aged men. There's a framework or a skeleton given here for the pattern of what an aged man in the church should be like. Not just the church, but in life as general. He's to be sober. Well, that don't just mean he's not to be drunk. He's to be sober. That means not mad or insane. Not wild. Sober means calm. Sober means in your right mind. Sober means deliberate. You know, at yourself, thinking, willful, and in obedience to the truth, walking right, speaking right, sober. An old man's supposed to be like that. Not crazy, not mad, not acting crazy. Let me read the rest of it here. Not a visionary or heated with passion. Sober. I'm reading the definition of sober. Having the regular exercise of cool disposition, dispassionate reason. Let me read it again. Having the regular exercise of cool dispassionate reason. In other words, he's calm. He ain't off the wall. He ain't just flying off the handle. You know, an older man, the aged man, that the aged man be sober. If you believe right about God and the truth, and you get old, you're not going to be wild and crazy. You know, I think about, there's a preacher that I'm thinking about, and all of us, most of us know, and all of his life he's been a clown. And when you get to be old, an old man, and you're a clown, do people take you seriously? Is it becoming sound doctrine for an old man to be full of foolishness and jokes and... No, it's not. It's not becoming at all. It's just not... It doesn't fall right. I mean, everybody just kind of cringes because it's just something wrong here. An older man, an aged man ought to be sober. It means regular, calm, not under the influence of passion, as sober judgment. He ought to be able to discern and judge things calmly and deliberately and not with passion. Y'all understanding this? This is what a young person does. The younger, as you go down the scale to the young, this is what you have. You run on passion. You make your choices in passion. You make your judgments in passion. You understand what I'm saying? With feeling. Your feelings have more control of you than your sober mind does. Hot-tempered, quick to draw, and fly off the handle. Quick to assume, ready to fight. An old man like that, not becoming sound doctrine. Think of old people that you've known through the years. Think of an old, wise man. Do you agree that the most of them that you know, any of them that you know that you think of that was wise, or you considered wise, that's how they were? You couldn't hardly rouse them. You know, get a rise out of them, put it that way. They would, you know, they'll just... Did you ever fool with an old dog or an old cat? I'm talking about one that's old. Did you ever watch them? I remember that old cat that the preacher and them had over there years ago, that big old fat tom cat, and he'd just lay around, wouldn't do nothing, only just catch a bird once in a while. But I remember that little old bitty kitten come up to him that day, and it was so funny because that cat was just laying there, that big old fat cat, and that kitten come up to him and raised his paw to hit him like that, and that cat just raised his head and looked at him, and the little kitten put his paw down and backed away. He didn't have to jump up and say, "All right, I'm going to get you. Now you better not. You try me. Just try me." No, he didn't do a thing. You know, if an animal gets that way with age, dogs, I've seen dogs do the same thing. An old dog, he won't mess with you, and he won't threaten you, and he ain't going to talk to you much, but if you just keep messing around, he'll get you before you know what's happened to you. He ain't going to talk about it. He ain't going to huff and puff and blow like a young one does. Y'all seen that deal? I seen it here again the other day, and it's a fight, and that guy's doing flips and back flips and jumping all over the ring, and his long hair flying, and he just kept doing it in front of that, and finally that guy just reached out there and popped him, and he just fell like a limp rag on the floor. I mean, one lick's all it took. Put on a big show. There's your difference between youth and old age. The difference that you ought to grow into. Let the old men, the aged men, let the aged men be sober. It's a trait that's lacking in youth. In youth, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Now the Bible tells us that, doesn't it? And when you're young, you're just not really that sober. Boy, you like to laugh, and you like to have fun, and you like to feel good, and you like to have thrills, and you like to do things that are exciting. Ain't that right? Well, sure it is. And we can all identify with that. If you have been young and you're old, you can say, "Yeah, I remember being that way." But we were talking like last night, I think we saw somebody, it just don't take as much anymore to get satisfied with the fun. Don't take near as much. You know, when, like some of you know, that when I was graduating high school over here, went on a senior trip, and we stayed up for like 3 nights in a row. Man, this is a once-in-a-lifetime thing, and we got to have fun. We ain't got time to sleep. How can we sleep? Well, I ended up in the hospital and missed the whole thing. Yep. Dumb. It'd have been good to have a little bit of soberness, but when you're 18 years old, nah, you ain't worried about that. You're worried about having fun and excitement and not missing anything. For it to be lacking in an old man, though, is disastrous. It's a disaster when this soberness is missing in an old man. If an old man is given to passion in any emotion in his dealings with others, it's a result of the lack of influence in his life of the Spirit of God. Now, I believe that is right. And it's usually obvious because they become mean, cruel, and sometimes profane in their babbling when they grow old and are still controlled by their passions. Now, Esther, again, you know, in the nursing home, being up there, you can see that so clearly. You can see what happens to a person when they get old and they have not followed God's order for their life. When they were young, they wanted to be older. And when they were old, they wanted to be younger. And when they were a woman, they didn't want to be a woman. And some men didn't want to be a man. And then they get old and they're absolutely crazy. And it's a result, all of that is a result of the lack of the influence of God and His Spirit and His Word in your life. You read, study the Bible, you believe God, you have sound doctrine, and you'll be okay with wherever you're at in life. And you'll want to be a man if you're a boy. You'll want to be a woman if you're a girl. You'll want to be a mother if you're a woman and married. And you'll want to be a father if you're a man. Those things will be what life's about. You won't be fighting against it and rebelling against it. That's the thing now. Again, we were talking about it the other day, and Jesus said the time's going to come when they'll say, blessed is the barren womb. In other words, Jesus said there's going to come a time when people will think that having children is a burden and a curse. And that you're the real people who are blessed are those who don't have any children. Because they're just a burden and an expense and a problem. And you've heard it. We sat in the grocery store in line one time and a woman had a little old kid in the cart old enough to talk. The child was talking. And she said right in front of him that one was enough for her. That's all she wanted right there. He was so much trouble she couldn't hardly put up with him. Well, now what do you think she's preparing his life to be? How evil, how wicked, how ungodly and wrong. You're not a mother. You're not a mother with little children for very long. You know, y'all have these babies, you have them stay up at night and all that. Don't worry. It ain't going to last long. And it'll be over. And it'll just be a memory for you. But what you're doing is you're setting yourself up for the future, good or bad. Just remember that. The old aged man, he should be stable and steady by the time he's an old man. And he ought to be able to deal with difficulties and disagreements and even sin and other people with a calm and sensible mind and tongue. Y'all listening to this, because this is really important and it's good stuff and it's true. By the time a man is old, he ought to be able to deal with these problems with other people. And with sin in other people, with a sound, sensible, calm mind. Without going off the wall. In anger, in frustration, in just foolishness. The old man ought to be wise. And he ought to be in control of his mind. of his passions. If you ain't learned to control them by then, God ain't had a whole lot to do with your life. I'll just tell you. You may be churchy, and you may be religious, but if you can't bridle your tongue, your religion's in vain. He should be able to be steady. He should not be a visionary, a dreamer, who sees no obstacles to his desires. If there's anything that life ought to teach you after you've lived a long, full life, you ought to have learned that everything is not easy, and everything you desire is not going to happen, and every dream you have is not going to come to pass. It's not like in the movies, and it's not like in the storybooks, and if you ain't learned by the time you're an old man to quit this pipe dreaming, then I don't know, you know, you don't have a real grip on reality. Shouldn't have that. He ought to be sober, sober minded. Should come naturally with age, because by the way of disappointments and being forced to reckon with reality. How many times by the time you're old have you come through this right here, being disappointed, finding out you can't have what you wanted, you can't obtain what you can't do, you can't go. You ought to have learned by then. By old age, a man should be able to discern between a dream and the will of God. Amen to that. The aged men, he said, are to be grave. The word means honorable. It means honest, venerable. That's what the word means, grave. We're not painting a picture here of just solemn, negative, minor chord. I mean, you shouldn't think of a minor chord every time you think of an old or aged man. That's not the deal at all. No. But he ought to be worthy of honor by the time he's old. Now think with me a minute here. If you live for God, you speak the truth, you teach the truth by example to other people, by the time you're old, there ought to be some honor about you. Other people ought to look at you with honor. Don't you think so? If that's missing, then what has been missing all along? An old man that hasn't lived the truth, that hasn't regarded God, that did his own thing, did it the way he wanted to, the way he thought it was, the way he felt like, according to his passions, and he gets old. Where are you going to get any honor? How are you going to honor somebody that has not honored God? They've never lived in their place, as you will read in the younger men here later. They're to be sober too. It's a thing that goes all the way through life. When you're young, it's more, you got a lot more to learn. And by the time you get to be an aged man, you ought to be sober. Real good. And you ought to be grave, worthy of reverence, deserving of honor and respect. Old men ought to be deserving of respect. You ought to be able to look at their hands. You ought to be able to shake hands with them. You ought to be able to look at their face. You ought to be able to remember the kind of life they lived and the things they've done and the things they've said that would make you honor them. Now that's the way the old man's supposed to be, according to God. Speak the things which become sound doctrine. This is what becomes sound doctrine. Man live a life that's right. When he's old, he'll be sober and he'll be grave. That means you'll have some respect for him. And it's right. Redeemed. I can't read my own writing here. Rendered sacred by religious associations or being consecrated to God and to his worship. To be regarded with awe and treated with reverence. Well, what do you think and how do you feel about some of these old preachers that we've talked about through here? Brother Earl, you know, Brother Glass, we talked about him and I prayed for him a while ago. And I mean, people, and on, we can go, I can go way back farther than that and remember, they just flood through my mind, old men that used to sit in a pew in church where I've been and been in meetings with them and heard them and heard them testify and heard them sing and heard them talk and sat and talked with them. And I remember what some of them, I remember what their favorite song was. I remember what their favorite chapter in the Bible was. I remember things they said, things they loved to talk about, things they said about God and things that God had done for them and talking about when they was praying. And, you know, I remember so many things about old men that I've known through the years that were what they supposed to be. They were sober. They wasn't jokers. They wasn't foolish acting. They wasn't full of passion and throwing fits every time you turned around. And you know what I feel toward them? Honor, yes. You almost put them on a pedestal and think, and make them greater than they really were as time goes on, because of things they said, things they left with you, the way they faced problems in their life and difficulties, and you watched them. The aged men should be able to teach the aged men should be such in their character that life and life that they're worthy of being held in honor and high esteem by the rest of the church and by everybody around them and by their families. Their long experience in life should be a treasury for the others to draw on. I wish we could all, you know, preached about the generations here 2-3 weeks ago, and, you know, it's just something that really did go deep in me. I see this guy that does the Wayne County historical thing, and that is so, to me, things like that are just really neat, and I think they're really important. You know, if we knew, if we would avail ourselves of what we have available to us, their long experience in life is like a treasure to draw on. If we really knew the experience of those who came before us in more detail, it would help us greatly. We know so little. You know, and for the last generation here, people have walled up themselves and they don't get to know one another like people used to so much. And so you just know very little about anybody. You just don't know how they've dealt with issues in life. You don't know what they really are inside. I mean, even here, you just wonder how much you really know about everybody. I mean, because you just go so far and that's all you go. You don't bare your heart. You don't let people in anymore because it's too dangerous nowadays. The aged men ought to be, they're there as a treasure house to draw upon. The aged men, the Bible says here, are to be temperate. That means moderate in the indulgence of the appetites and passions. Self-controlled. How does it set well with you? How does it ring with you when you see an old man who just can't, who will not control himself, his appetites? I mean, and you know, we probably all eat too much. We certainly eat more than we need, that's for sure. But there's a difference when you're, you know, there's a difference in just flat out gluttony and eating a little too much. Now, I just think that's the way it is. Yeah. I've seen a few gluttons. Yeah. When it's an old man, how does that ring with you? What do you think? The first thought that goes through your mind is this. How can he still be like that when he's this old? You always think that. How can you live to be that old and not learn better than that? What in the world? Temperate means modern. I've heard the saying, modern in all things. Well, the Bible doesn't say those words, but it really does say that. I mean, it doesn't word it like that, but temperate, that's what it means, moderate. in the indulgence of the appetites and passions. Young people have a problem with that. People that have no governor on their appetites have no God in their life. Moderate as to opinions also and passions. Discreet. The aged men should be temperate. They ought to be discreet. They ought to know how to act. Seems to me like a lot of old people get to the point where they just don't care what anybody, well, don't care what anybody thinks. They'll just do anything in public. They develop bad manners and bad, you know, they don't care. Well, that's ungodly. By the time you're old, you ought to be real keen about that. You ought to be moderate in your opinions when you're an old man. Now, these are all, I mean, you know, Gary, you ain't an old man. So, you're just listening to what the Lord is telling me here tonight. So, the aged men are to be sound in faith, he says. They shouldn't be unstable in what they believe. There's nothing sadder to me than an old man who's confused. And jumping around. Still church jumping. Still jumping doctrines and beliefs. And still following after crazy ideas that come along. Sad to me to see an old man who's so unsettled and unstable and in his beliefs. He ought to be sound in faith. They shouldn't be unstable in what they believe. And what they believe should be sound. That is healthy, true, tried, and proven. They ought to believe right. Yes, sir. You've had a lifetime to figure this thing out. You've had a lifetime to study. You've had a lifetime to listen and to look around you and to figure this deal out. You ought to have it by the time you're old. You ought to be able to speak right things. You ought to be able to give an answer to him that asketh. You have the hope that lieth in you. You ought by that time to have got a bigger view of life and eternity and God and his working among men throughout all history. Old men should not have crazy, wacky ideas about things in the Bible or anything else. I've heard some crazy things from old men about the Bible. They get some kind of crazy beliefs about things in the Bible. And it makes them look really bad. It destroys the credibility. It destroys anybody's ability to honor and respect them in that way because they're not in their place. They're not speaking of sound doctrine. What it speaks of is that they are not sound in doctrine. They haven't believed right. They haven't been right all their life, and so they're not right now. It's going to get worse, too. It gets worse when you get old and you've rejected the right way all the way through. When they think and say, what they think and say should make sense. When an old man talks, it ought to make sense. And it ought to be wise, full of wisdom. And it ought to be provable by the Word of God and by nature and by history. What he says ought to be right according to the way history's proven it, the way nature proves it, and the way God, the Word of God proves it. He ought to, when he speaks, it ought to be like an organ playing harmony, harmonic notes. I mean, it ought to be like everything agrees. He's just right in tune. He ought to be in tune by the time he's an old man. Aged men are to be sound in charity. Now he names all these things in this little bitty verse that we read here, just about the old man. Sound in charity. Now the meaning is that an old man should show love for all, and especially for those who are good. An old man ought to have learned by the time he's old to quit hating people. And to start loving people. He ought to have grace. He ought to have patience. Because we got to get to that here in a second. But he should have overcome. By that time of his life, he should have overcome all the fiery, impetuous, envious, wrathful passions of his early years. We talk about a man being seasoned. What are we talking about? What do we mean when we say that? Well, experienced. Seasoned means that it's prepared for its use, its rightful use. You season a piece of wood. You season, different things. It's a preparation. A man that's seasoned means he's been through things that have made him fit for the task. And seasoned also means age has been added here. Time has been added. He's had time to think, time to experience, time to try things and find out what don't work and what does work. So he should have done that by then. He should have overcome by the time he's old all these things he had when he was young. Now the Bible talks about a pastor not being a novice. Why? Well, he don't know, and he's easily tempted by the devil. He acts in passion instead of wisdom. I've known of some young preachers making some awful messes at church because of their youthful ignorance and zeal. You know, I remember I had a friend one time, of course, we're talking about when he was in his 20s or maybe early 30s, but he got this little church, and so he kept telling them how that their faces was so ugly and they was making so much faces at him while he's preaching, he's gonna get a mirror and just put up here for them to look at themselves so they could see what he's saying. Well, he did it. Of course, he wasn't there very long after that. Heard about another preacher brought a raw cow's tongue to church. And he preached on these long-tongued women and they're gossiping, and he flopped that old cow's tongue around the whole time he's being floated on the altar, and you need to lay that tongue of yours on the altar. And oh man, just so creative. And well, that didn't go over too big either. Young guys do that kind of stuff. By time, an old man to do that stuff? I can name you some old preachers. They're getting old and they're still doing that kind of stuff. Yeah. And it's very unbecoming of sound doctrine. It's not working. It's not going to work either. He should have got over that stuff. By the time he's old, he ought to be operating in the realm of truth and love. And he ought to be able to speak the truth in love. And that should be enough without all the drama and the theatrics and the overwhelming displays of zeal and whatever. His mind should be subdued into sweet benevolence to all men. He ought to be a sweet old man. Speak the truth, know the truth. And all that makes him much more effective. Have y'all ever thought about that? How effective it is when an old man is right like this. Tries to act like a young man, he blows it. If he's just lacking in some of these things, if he's off the wall in his doctrine, in his beliefs, he just blows it. This should be a part, sound and charity. It ought to be a part of his character and his personality, not just something he's trying to conform to, but he's quite able to reach. You know, he can do it. That's what he is. It becomes what he is, not what he does. He's just, that's the way he is. Then, here's the way it is. If you can think through your life of somebody who said a word to you that really encouraged you, it's almost always going to be an old man. He'll say the fewest words to accomplish the most in you than anybody else. It'll always be an old man. It'll say something to you that you won't forget, that he got from a lifetime of walking with God and living in the truth and becoming what God means for an old man to be. He should be this way consistently, sound in charity. And then finally, the aged men are to be sound in patience. That's what the verse says. That the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and in patience. So, sound in patience, the suffering of afflictions, pain, toil, calamity, provocation, or all the other evils in this world, with a calm, unruffled temper. He's just learned how to deal with things. And he don't go nuts in an emergency, in a sudden trouble. He's patient. He doesn't panic. Old men just don't panic. Ain't that right? You know, how unbecoming would it be for an old man to just run and scream and holler with his hands in the air because something terrible's happening? I remember my sister-in-law running around the yard and her hands in the air screaming that night the building was burning out there. It was laughable. Can you imagine an old man being that way? An old man. An aged man. This is what God means for it to be. Now, all these things perfectly describe some of the old men that I've known that were just what they ought to be. We all know this is the way it ought to be. Old man ought to be patient. He ought to be sound in patience. Know how to handle things when they come along. Be calm. He's like the rock that everybody kind of leans on. He's the stabilizing person in all of the troubles. He's like the captain on the ship. You've read about it, heard about it before. And I think I remember the preacher talking about it. But everybody, if there was an emergency and you're in a storm, I mean, it looks bad and it looks like you're in trouble and everybody's scared to death, everybody's eye is on the captain. And he knows it. And as long as the captain's all right, we'll be all right. That's kind of like it is with old man. Everybody looks to the old men for stability, for patience. He's an example of patience. Patience is a thing that you learn and acquire. How does the Bible say? Through tribulation. Tribulation worketh patience. Well, when you've got a lifetime of tribulation, you should have learned patience. And you know, this isn't exclusive to Christians now. I mean, this is the way God made man. And this is the way that it just naturally works unless you're just eat up with your sin and you refuse to be what God meant for you to be. Patience, sound in patience, means cheerful endurance without murmuring or fretfulness. I remember my grandpa, and that's kind of the way he was. I mean, we just, you know, stuff would break, and we'd be all mad and upset and frantic about things, and he just never seemed to get that way. Just been through it so many times, there ain't no need in being. Ain't no need of worrying about it. We just fix it and go on. Ain't no need in throwing a fit. Ain't no need in just grumbling and mumbling and complaining and cursing the heavens. You might as well just pick up and go on. We just got to go on. That's what we got to do. calm temper, which bears evils without murmuring or discontent. An old man ought to be sound and patient. He ought to have that. He ought to have a calm temper. Now, the act or quality of waiting long for justice or expected good without discontent. The old men are not the ones that are so anxious to open their Christmas presents, are they? They're not all excited. Who's all excited about that kind of stuff? Oh, yes. The younger you are, the more exciting that kind of stuff is. The older you are, it just really don't matter. It's okay, but I wait. I can wait. You notice old people are waiting. They don't jump in front of the line. They don't try to be first. They're not frantic about things. You know, you watch people at the store, like Walmart, and the checkout lines. You watch them. They're not fighting to get ahead of somebody else. Are they? Yeah. They got tired of that a long time ago. You know what they've learned? They've learned to wait. Just learn to be patient, to cheerfully wait without going nuts. Perseverance, constancy, the quality of bearing offenses and injuries without anger or revenge. You know, I see that in old people. I see that they don't. Man, let me hurry up and get down here. The trials and losses of life should have by this time been worked into them true patience. And if they're sound in patience, they'll be able to submit to the trials of old age with resignation also. It's a good thing you got patience by the time you're old, because you need it real bad. Yep. It would sure be rough to be old and impatient. Not able to stand it. Not able to stand waiting. Not able to stand being alone and facing what's coming. The older you get, the less you look forward to what's coming in this life. The more you look forward to what's coming after this life. You keep looking for the crossing more. Instead of the, when you're young, you ain't even worried about that. I mean, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. That's your attitude. But it's a good thing. When you get old, you need all this stuff. You need to be sound. You need to be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, sound in charity, and sound in patience. Old men need that very badly. It's funny he said this to the old men. Now the old women, some of the things are the same, but there's other things he says to the women. But the old men, it's a real blessing when you get to an old age and you've developed into what God meant for you to. And you've got these qualities that you really need when you're old. To be a blessing. To be still have a place of service to your family, to your church, to God in this world. When you're old, you can't do things like you did when you were young. But you can do things that you couldn't when you were young. And your capacity for doing good is so much more when you're old than it is when you're young. Your aim is a lot better when you're old. If you're right. If your doctrine is sound. And if you've believed right and lived according to it. By the time you get old, your sword is sharp. And you know how to wield it very effectively. So much more than when you were young. And you can do a lot more good. I mean, it's the harvest time of your life. Think about that. It's the time when everything comes to fruition. and all that you've learned and all that you've experienced and all that you've invested and all that everybody else has invested into you, it all comes to a head when you're old. And there should be fruit. There should be fruit born. I mean, you should be able to be an example. Be that encouragement. Be that person that nobody wants to turn loose of. That everybody remembers when they're gone. And you want it to be said of you, the memory of the just is blessed. Blessed. Amen. All right, well, let's stand. Father, just some simple truths here that we've just gleaned from a verse out of the Word of God. Please help us. I know, Lord, that a lot of the young people and the kids, sometimes it doesn't seem like it's really speaking to them at all, but I pray it is. Pray you'd teach them how to get from this what they need in their life right now. Help them to look at the older people and realize that a life has been lived and what's there for them to draw upon to help them in their walk and to make their life not only easier but less dangerous and more fruitful. Please go with us now. Please help us to be good witnesses for you this week, good examples to one another, and encouraging one another. Please watch over us. And Lord, keep us in your care. We love you. Lord, thank you. Thank you for the good Lord's day. In Jesus' name, amen.